Welcome to the Central Media Office of Hizb ut-Tahrir's English podcast. Do recent events in the life of the Ummah confirm Hizb ut-Tahrir's method of change? Translated, alwa'i.org, 39th year, Dhul Qa'dah, 1446 AH, corresponding to May 2025, CE, Abd al-Sattar Abu Taqi, Palestine. The greatest characteristic of an ideological Hizb, adherent to the deen in its pursuit of change, is its commitment to noble integrity in thought and action. This is in accordance with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed. وَإِن لَوْ اسْتَقَامُوا عَلَى الطَّرِيقَةِ لَأَسْقَيْنَاهُمْ مَاءً غَدَقًا. If they had only remained firm on their tariqah, straight path, we would have bestowed on them water in abundance. Al-Jinn 16. This includes the fear of its shabab members that they might be afflicted with trial or punishment if they disobeyed Allah's subhanahu wa ta'ala command. The ideological Hizb believes that steadfastness upon the truth and the Sharia obligations of Islamic law is what leads to the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and empowerment on earth as a promised second Khilafah Rashid, the rightly guided caliphate that will soon arise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willing, despite trials and tribulations, despite rejection and persecution, and despite misguidance and deception, while the carrier of the Islamic da'wah is keen to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in word and deed, he or she is certain that Allah Almighty is the one who arranges all matters for him or her and directs them all in the life of the Ummah, distinguishing the wicked from the good, bestowing favors upon the oppressed, making them leaders and inheritors in ruling the earth in a divine law of constant testing as a reward for their steadfastness. Among Allah's subhanahu wa ta'ala's rewards for those who are patient and steadfast in their deen is that he supports them in doing good, protects them from deviation in thought and conduct, makes the hearts of some people more eager to be with them, and shows them signs of his support, Nasr, reassuring their hearts that their understanding is sound and their approach is righteous. Anyone who reflects on the recent political events in the life of the Ummah will see that they validate the Sharia legitimate method of change, based primarily and foremost on adherence to Islamic Sharia law and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam method of change. They also see in these events consolation and reassurance for believers that they are on the right path, and that their commitment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and their refusal to submit to reality pragmatically will bring them honor in this world and the hereafter. The most prominent confirmation of the recent events sweeping the Ummah is, firstly, the necessary process of change within the Ummah after the fall of the Khilafah Caliphate is a political ideological change. Any attempt to establish a state within the Ummah before this ideology has taken effect within the Ummah, before the Ummah has fully embraced the Islamic political project and advocated for Islam as the system of state, will be aborted and doomed, as it contravenes the laws of change. Secondly, the regime that came after the Khilafah in Muslim lands are tyrannical regimes established by the Kafir colonialists as a war against Deen and the Ummah. The slightest recognition of their legitimacy brings about the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the failure of those who legislate within them. Even if they call for and work for something of the deen, and even if their work is done with good intentions are not sufficient for success and change. Instead, awareness in thought and action is required, following the method of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Thirdly, the da'wah to and work for the coming comprehensive Khilafah is the only real change required by Sharia today. Any action by Muslims that falls short of this, even if it is good, will not absolve us of our responsibility before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but will only perpetuate our loss. The Khilafah is the executive entity of the deen, and within it lies our unity and glory. Through the Khilafah, we will return to our path as the best nation brought forth for humankind. Through it, we will implement Islam within ourselves and carry it to the world through da'wah and jihad, just as our predecessors did. Fourthly, the course of the Ummah is one. Its cause is one, its war is one, and its peace is one. The pain of every country is the pain of the Ummah as a whole, and its solution is one attempts to seek solutions to partial issues within the Ummah within the nationalistic borders of the Sykes-Picot Agreement will not benefit it and will not lift its humiliation and degradation. Its enemies are gathering and striking arrows at the Ummah from a single bow. The Ummah must rise above reality and pragmatism and move collectively as a single Ummah, distinct from all other peoples, to respond to its enemies. This is exactly what Hizb ut-Tahrir has been calling for since its inception. The West's isolation of the cardboard entities in the Muslim countries since the destruction of the Khilafah and what is happening in Gaza today are clear and obvious evidence of the necessity of a collective unified thought and action in the Ummah for its salvation as a single entity. Fifthly, the power and capabilities of the Ummah belong to it, and its armies are no exception. The armies are the same kind as the Ummah, not of its rulers. Attempting to separate the armies from the Ummah is a major crime that only serves its enemies and perpetuates its misery, leaving it unable to find a path to liberation, Tahrir. Even Muslim children in Gaza have sensed this and have felt it, so they called for the armies. Yet a number of the Ummah's sons remain lost in this regard. Their enemies persist in misleading them, claiming that it is impossible to seek Nusra, military support from its people of power and armies to establish the Khilafah. Despite this, the awareness of the fiqh of seeking Nusra, military support among the Ummah's sons and daughters is growing today. All praise be to Allah, and assists the da'wah of the Hizb. Indeed, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees a matter that is destined to be fulfilled, the Sharia thought of seeking Nusra, military support from the Ummah's armies, with its details and specifics, has become a topic of discussion within the Ummah after decades and decades of resisting it and even mocking it. Some of the Ummah's sons and daughters are now thinking more seriously about the role of armies and their work within the Ummah, and that they have become the practical, even inevitable solution to rescue the Ummah from its current situation. The armies are the means to get rid of the traitorous rulers who openly display hostility towards their people. The armies are the means to overthrow the regimes. When the armies side with the Ummah today lacks the key factor for bringing about change and victory, which is the mobilization of armies, the removal of rulers, the handover of power to the Ummah, and to those who have vowed to establish Allah's Sharia rule on earth. Sixthly, all the major events taking place today in the life of the Ummah, the political incidents, and the West's conspiracy against us all assist our da'wah, the call to the truth, with the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When the Crusader West declares today that its main war is with those it calls Islamists, who seek the unity of Muslims under the Khilafah, Caliphate, and that it will only accept anything less than the Caliphate from the Ummah, the people of the Ummah will realize their situation and turn to what elevates them and serves their deen. When the traitor regimes in Muslim lands plant division and fragmentation in the service of the Kuffar, handing over lands and people to them, promoting disbelief and corruption, fostering the friendship of evil so-called ulema, fighting anyone who says, "My Lord is Allah alone," and establish themselves with the enemies of the Ummah, declaring this a struggle with complete arrogance, the hands that seize their throats will grow. When the sons of the Ummah realize with their own hands that their illegitimate states, their oppressive apparatuses, and their nationalistic, racist, and sectarian movements have brought them nothing but humiliation and degradation, they will shake off their grip and consider the liberation, tahrir, of themselves from them. When the movements of the so-called moderate Islam participate in false systems of governance every time, bearing the brunt of their sin, their reality is exposed, and the sons and daughters of the Ummah begin to abandon them and turn to those who are sincere in their da'wah. And when Muslims revolted against their rulers in several countries and what has been called the Arab Spring, being killed in large numbers, their sanctities violated, and the dogs of the West and the East attack them, then in allowing so, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is merely testing the Muslims, granting them patience, teaching them, choosing from them martyrs, and guiding them to the truth of action. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Wal jihadu madan mundu ba'athani Allah ila an yuqatila akhira ummati ad-dajjal la yubtiluhu jawru ja'irin wala 'adlu 'adilin," and jihad will continue from the time Allah sent me until the last of my ummah fights the Dajjal. It will not be invalidated by the injustice of an unjust person or the justice of a just person. He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is giving good tidings to his ummah that their jihad will continue and that its flames will continue until the day of judgment, and that as long as they are engaged in jihad, they will be well, and that they will be victorious over their enemies in war, even if the enemies prevail in some skirmishes and battles. Whenever a group of the sons of the ummah fights the Jews, the call of jihad rises in the ummah. The weakness of the Jews is exposed, their image is tarnished throughout the world, and the rulers are disgraced in their loyalty to the kuffar. The features of its salvation and its path are prepared for the ummah, and that its salvation cannot be achieved except by getting rid of the harmful regimes within it and establishing its khilafah that fights its enemies together under the raya banner of its messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Thus, the enemies of the ummah will have no way of authority over it, so it will conquer them and they will not conquer it. And its jihad will be a jihad of striving and initiative to spread the deen throughout the world. When the ummah witnessed what is happening in Gaza, it realizes that its conflict is a conflict between the Islamic civilization and the rotten capitalist civilization, and not, as some imagine, a conflict over a piece of land. The ummah realizes that the Sykes-Picot order that established the Jewish entity and called it a state is the same system that created the Arab protectorates and called them states. The conditioned linkage between the Jewish entity and the Arab protectorates means that both will either fall together or survive together. When the ummah witnessed the recent events in Syria, it realizes that the fall of the oppressive regimes on the verge of collapse is possible, feasible, and imminent, Allah willing. Seventhly, all the events taking place today in the life of the ummah are preparation for the coming flood of goodness in its unified state, whose time has come. Although the ummah is shackled by its rulers at the instruction of their colonialist masters, it is undoubtedly alive, and the ummah needs a sincere, aware leadership to lead it to overturn its reality and return its former glory. There is no doubt that everything that has happened in the life of the ummah since the fall of the Khilafah Caliphate strongly indicates the integrity of our da'wah and the efficiency of the Sharia, a legitimate method for achieving Allah's will with His permission. This is the state of those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased and whom He has made a source of good, strangers, ghuraba, who reform what people have corrupted. Eighthly, all the events and developments taking place in the ummah today are a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for those who carry the da'wah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يَوْمَ يَنْفَعُ الصَّادِقِينَ صِدْقَهُمْ, on the day when the truthfulness of the truthful will benefit. Al-Ma'idah 119. So that we may stand firm on the truth and continue on our path, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised us a promise that will not be broken, saying, وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ, Allah has promised those among you who believe and do righteous deeds that He will surely make them successors upon the earth. An-Nur 55. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's promise is inevitably coming. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us good tidings of it when he said, لَا يَلْبَثُ الْجُورُ بَعْدِي إِلَّا قَلِيلًا حَتَّى يَطْلُعُ فَكُلَّمَا طَلَعَ مِنَ الْجُورِ شَيْءٌ ذَهَبَ مِنَ الْعَدْلِ مِثْلُهُ حَتَّى يُولَدُ فِي الْجُورِ مَنْ لَا يَعْرِفُ غَيْرُهُ ثُمَّ يَأْتِي اللَّهُ بِالْعَدْلِ فَكُلَّمَا جَاءَ مِنَ الْعَدْلِ شَيْءٌ ذَهَبَ مِنَ الْجُورِ مِثْلُهُ حَتَّى يُولَدُ فِي الْعَدْلِ مَنْ لَا يَعْرِفُ غَيْرُهُ. Injustice will not remain after me but a little while until it emerges. Every time an act of injustice emerges, an equal amount of justice will disappear until there are those who are born into injustice and know nothing else. Then Allah, the Blessed, the Exalted, will bring justice. Every time an act of justice emerges, an equal amount of injustice will disappear until there are those who are born into justice and know nothing else. Narrated by Imam Ahmad. We ask Him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to make us rightly guided guides and return the ummah to the domain of the da'wah, to truth. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, arrange our affairs for us, for we do not arrange them well. Our final dua of supplication is that all praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Lord of the worlds alone.